Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back and we're bad. That's right. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. We try to have fun around here. If we don't do anything else, we try to make sure we have some fun. And somebody who likes to do that as well is our good friend Rick Pinion. Rick is the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services, and he's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's always nice to be back.
It's good to have you back, and it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Rick?
It sure is. It helps me get up every morning.
That's right. Do we need to do our little soliloquy, Rick?
Yes, we do.
Well, folks, I'm going to remind you. I always take this opportunity to remind you about the difference between the world that I live in and you, most of you live in, and the world that Rick lives in. Rick is in the investment business. You and I live in the world of caveat emptor. Now, that doesn't mean that we get to not be truthful about what we do, but it is the let the buyer beware thing. The buyer has to be educated and protect him or herself for the most part. But in the securities industry, it's the person who is on the other end of the table, the other side of the table. It's their responsibility to protect you as much as they can and to give you what's called full disclosure. And in that spirit, Rick, you're on.
That's right, Jim. So let's talk a little bit about disclosure. First of all, I wanted to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG Advisor Group, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and AIG Investment Advisors are not directly related. Also, listeners should be careful to know that there's risks involved in all investments, including the possible loss of principal. So thank
all right.
you very much.
All right. Good job, Rick. And as I've said many times before, and people wonder why financial planners and investment folks don't have groupies. But, Rick, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is when you're talking with your – when you're going to be working with your financial planner, you got to have – you got to bring certain things to the table. You got to do your part to get the most out of that relationship, don't you?
That's true. That's true.
So give us an idea about what we're talking about.
Yeah. In fact, let's talk briefly and just kind of remind the listeners the five parts of financial planning. The first part is insurance or protection. The second is income tax, mainly income tax reduction strategies. The third is investments. The fourth is retirement planning. And the fifth is estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we know that there's five key areas, when a person comes in to visit me for the first time, I give them a little homework assignment and tell them to bring in certain documents. So perhaps we can go through those, maybe one by one, and I can say what each one
Absolutely.
Would like to do.
Let's do that.
All right. Let's start, first of all, with the insurance. One of the things I always tell people to bring in is their insurance policies. And we're not talking about just one type of insurance policy, but all the types. For example, we want to take a look at their automobile insurance, make sure that they've got coverage, you know, up to snuff. So when I look at coverage, I want to see at least $100,000, you know, per person, $300,000 as a minimum per accident, and $50,000 for uninsured motorist coverage.
So as a financial planner, you actually get into the coverage that we have for our automobile insurance.
That's right. Remember,
and for our property and casualty, for our homes and things like that.
Right, because I have a fiduciary relationship with my clients.
This is a holistic approach, folks. I bet many of you are surprised to hear Rick say that he gets into your risk, the risk issues to this degree.
Yeah, and by the way, Jim, just for your information, I am licensed in property and casualty, but I prefer to have the person work with their own agent.
Right.
because that's where that person, you know, can handle it a little bit better than I can on an ongoing basis.
Right, right. That's not your wheelhouse. That's not your real specialty.
Right, but I want to make sure that what they do in one part of their life, you know, may not affect the other parts of their life. But everything, we have to look at a holistic, you know.
Well, if you help them build their net worth, and then you leave them exposed on the risk side, then you've all the work you've done for the last 5 years could be in jeopardy.
Right, and plus I could be liable if I miss something. So I've got to be very
now,
careful.
See, that's something I think would surprise a lot of people, that a financial planner you're working with would be liable for something like property and casualty liability limits. Hold on to that thought, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Pinion and I will be right back. Here's Grace Slick to take us out.
Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need some?
A little bit of Chicago for you. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out. Hope you use it to your advantage. It's all free. There's no barrier to entry. Well, you got to have a computer. You got to be able to get online. Other than that, there's no barrier to entry to be able to take advantage of all the things that we do, and including our once a week newsletter, which comes by email every Sunday afternoon, like clockwork, and in the afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. And then we have our blog, which is there. It's not like anybody else's blog. It's a multimedia blog. And everything that we do here on the show and all the other things, my writing, any given day is right there on the blog, keeps it right up front for you. Got lots of other things. If you want to know just about anything you need to know about financial planning, you could go back and listen to the body of work that Rick Pinion has deposited with us over the years in the archives of the past interviews that we've done with Rick over the last 7 or 8 years or so that Rick's been with us. And Rick and I are talking about now about some of the documents that you need to bring in, the documentation that you need to bring in for a review with your financial planner. And Rick, we were just talking about insurance. What else do we need to talk about?
Yeah, we're kind of working our way through the checklist, you know, for financial planning. And so when we look at all the insurance documents, the next thing that we look at are things like medical insurance, disability insurance. We want to make sure the person has an umbrella policy.
Tell us what that is.
Yeah, an umbrella policy basically is an excess liability coverage. It sits on top of the automobile and homeowner's policy. So if you're driving down the street and you hit a station wagon and, say, unfortunately, one of the people gets very injured or becomes a paraplegic, they're going to go after your, you know, auto policy, but your auto policy may not be enough to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kicks into the umbrella. So the umbrella provides that extra legal defense fund.
Prior to 9-1-1, liability umbrellas were cheap. Since 9-1-1, they're not so much cheap.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to have it. You got to have it.
Yeah, that's right. And you need enough to cover at least your net worth.
Right, right.
So just to kind of finish up the insurance part, we also look at life insurance and we look at long-term care coverage and Medigap coverage.
All right.
So once we cover the insurance, the next area we normally move into is the investment portion. And so in the investment portion, we look at different categories. In other words, how is the person investing their money and what sort of rates of return are they getting? How much do they have as an emergency fund? And believe me, it's funny. Most people think about investing before they think about setting up a rainy day or an emergency fund. And they should have...
Well, it's more fun. Rainy day funds are not fun.
I know. Puts people to sleep.
That's right.
But they need one. And they need about 3 to 6 months of expenses in there to cover in case they lose their job or they get sick or something unusual happens. The furnace breaks down. The roof needs repair.
Small business owners are laughing right now a little bit when you say that, Rick, because they know what you're saying is true, but there's always some place in our business to put that money.
Mm.
You know, there's always a war, a fight, a battle, a tug of war for whatever cash we have. There's always some place to put it. And it's not always easy to have, especially when we're growing our businesses. Maybe after it's matured and we can kind of, you know, sort of clip our coupons a little bit, maybe we can do what you're talking about. But in the early days, it's hard to have that kind of a reserve.
Oh, I understand. In fact, if we step
back... You know all about that, don't you?
Yeah. In fact, if we step back a second, Jim, if we don't have an emergency fund, then we have to attack our other investments.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go after our pension plan and things like that, and the market may be down when we're doing that.
Right, right.
So you need something that's safe and liquid that, you know, you get your hands on quickly. But anyway,
all right, what's next?
So we look at things like marketable securities, the stocks, the bonds, the mutual funds. We go into retirement plans. We need to look at beneficiaries on
real estate.
Real estate. Any miscellaneous investments they may have, like gold or precious metals. We take a look.
Or a Beanie Baby collection or something like that.
No, we call those collectibles, though. By the way, those collectibles should be on their homeowner's policy as well.
Well, seriously, though, I mean, I was having some fun there with that comment, but seriously, they could have antiques, they could have art.
Yeah, and if they do have those things, we've got to make sure that not only are they insured on their homeowner's policy, but we also have to see what the value is. Have they been appraised recently? Because it may affect their estate tax situation,
right,
as well.
What did Antiques Roadshow tell you your grandmother's painting was worth, right?
Yeah, more than a penny.
All right, what's next?
Well, next we want to take a look at their tax return. The tax return is our Bible, because the tax return, we can look at the tax return and see so many different ways we can help a person. We can look and see if they have a pension plan set up if they're a small business. We want to look and see how much income is coming in, and is that income taxable or is it tax-free? Are they satisfied with their tax preparer? Is their tax preparer a CPA?
Does the financial planner look at the tax return and sort of do an evaluation of that tax preparation? Are you likely to see things that could be improved?
Well, I always tell people I don't care who prepares their taxes. I just want to help them reduce their taxes. But obviously, if I come across a situation where I need to talk to the accountant, I get their permission to do that, and I talk to the accountant about some of the areas that we may want to work together on.
I could see where there might be a little tension between a financial planner and a tax preparer, because accountants are typically pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, their job is to keep... Is to save taxes, I know, but also to keep their customers out of audits, because that's when they get burned, is when their people get audited a little bit. So that would be interesting. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other things that you need to bring to your financial planner when you're doing they're doing a checkup of all of your financial plan. Ten Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Rick Pinion is our guest. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Pinion is our guest. Rick, give us your website, please.
Okay. It's www.pinionfinancial. And Pinion Financial is one word. If you want to know how to spell Pinion, it's opinion without the O.
All right.
So it's
pinionfinancial.com, and they can find out. Yeah, I know you've got a lot of free things on your website that will help people, and they can also find out if they're interested in using you, if they need some help finding a financial planner in their area. I know you'll be glad to help them out with that.
That's true. That's
I appreciate that very much. Pinion Financial, folks, you got a lot of calculators too on your website, don't you?
Oh yeah. In fact, somebody called me up the other day. They were figuring out some calculations for their children. So we have educational calculators, retirement calculators. You can get a look at the market on our computer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things going on there. It's a very I guess you call it a very distinguished website.
Yeah, it is. And so check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Okay, Rick, let's wrap up the different things that people need to bring to their financial planner to do a checkup.
Good. And we're down to the last two items, Jim. We're down to next to last would be retirement planning, where we want to dissect all their retirement plans. And, you know, the biggest question that people ask me is, will I have enough money to retire? Or if I do retire, will I run out of income? Well, I outlive all my retirement plans. We need to take a look at that, and that's a very important point, to gather all the different retirement plans and IRAs together. And then we do the cash flow analysis on that. And also I go through some statistics on people not having enough at retirement. So that's the retirement part.
I was talking to a guy the other day who said that one guy said he wanted to figure his retirement income to the point where, you know, he spent his last dollar on his last day.
Hmm.
And another guy said, no, I want you to bounce a check on your last day. I want you to spend it all and bounce a check on your last day.
Yeah, that reminds me of the old saying. It's easier to avoid a problem than it is to solve one.
All right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the financial, the retirement planning, whatever you've done, IRAs, your 401ks, whatever, you need to bring all that in, right?
We're bringing in, especially look at the beneficiaries. Did you know, Jim, that I read a study the other day that said that over 40% of all pension plans do not have a contingent beneficiary?
Hmm. That's Tell us scary. What that means.
Well, in other words, if something happens to, let's say, the person in the pension plan, the participant,
right,
and say their spouse at the same time, who's might made the primary beneficiary,
right,
who's going to get that money?
Where does it go?
Yeah, especially if they have second marriages or something mm-hmm. like that, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden the judge is going to decide. It's going to go into their estate.
The nieces and nephews are going to be fighting over it, aren't they?
Yeah, in-laws become outlaws.
Yeah, well, they still, yeah. Well, sometimes they're outlaws a little earlier than that event, but yeah, that's a good point. And you know, a lot of insurance policies don't have those secondary beneficiaries.
Right, insurance policies, annuities, IRAs, and pension plans.
Right.
Anything that has a beneficiary designation, we've got to bring up to date.
Which brings us to the estate planning.
Yeah, that's right. Let's jump into the last. We saved the best till last. The estate planning. We want to know if the person has a will and a living trust, and if they have a business. I always say, do you have a business will? And they look at me like, well, what in the world are you talking about? And I'll say, have you set up plans for your business that when you pass away, who's going to get your business? And a lot of people have never thought about that. They've never met with an estate planning attorney. And my job is to try to give them some, you know, references where they can sit down and have a complimentary consultation with a good estate planning attorney and start asking themselves these important questions.
Well, a lot of people, when they think of estate planning, they think of all the things we've already been talking about. But it's actually, you break it down a little finer than that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we look and see if they have a buy-sell. You and I talked before about the importance of having a buy-sell agreement.
Mm-hmm.
For either disability or death.
Right. How is and one of these days you're going to have to tell us how all this is going to change if and when the estate tax is abolished.
Oh, well, let's hope that it is abolished.
Let's hope that it is, because I know that's one area of your work that you wouldn't mind seeing go away, having to worry about paying for the estate tax. Rick, give us your website one more time, please.
Okay, it's www.pinionfinancial.com. On the financial planning side.
Thank you very much, Rick, for all this great information, as you always give us every time you visit with us. Thank you for that.
You.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay, great.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.